Well, all right. Good morning. You guys go ahead and find your seats. That's enough chit-chatting. Let's get this party continued to be started. I don't know. Well, hey, listen, welcome. We are so glad. I don't know why you keep getting welcomed throughout the morning, but what a cool day it is here today where we kind of celebrate what God has been doing in this place. And we saw the video that we opened up with this morning where it kind of outlined some basic, quick little shots about it. And we'll be talking about this stuff more as we go, but man, over $30,000 in local and foreign and like missions and benevolence and that kind of stuff we've given away this year. 12 people joined the church and said, listen, I'm excited about what's happening and let's go. I want to join up and let's get be a part of the, what's happening here at Gateway. People accepting Christ for the first time, recommitments to Christ. I mean, oh man, how cool. We're going to do some baptisms here in just a little bit. We had some baptisms in the first service and some baby dedications in the first service. So we are excited about all of the stuff that is happening around here. And so I hope that you are as well. If not, you know, I don't know. I don't want to tell you. But listen, what this is, it's a sign of growth, right? I was at a meeting with a pastor, with a group of pastors this week. And one of the things that they, you know, we're like talking about, okay, how's things going at your place? How are things going at your place? What do you do? How's it, have you come across this problem? You know, it's just kind of a discussion. We're just kind of, hey, how can we help each other, you know, do this thing that nobody knows how to do? And so we were talking, and one of the questions that got presented to the group was, do you take attendance? Do you count the amount of people that are in the room? And some of them said, no, we don't count. And some said, yes, we do. And I was one of the ones that said, yes, we count. And so then it's why? Why do you or why don't you? You know. And what I said was, well, that is one of the biggest ways that we can gauge if we're healthy. Are we growing? Are people coming, right? And it's not just about numbers. Obviously, it's not just about having a large church or having people here. But I would like to know, that number tells a lot of different things. You know, are friends inviting friends? Do they enjoy what they're, are they having a great experience when they come? You know, those guys, all kinds of things. But yes, we count. And so that tells us, though, if we're growing, which is important. Because, you know, statistically, in the United States right now, the church has been in decline for like 50 years. And, it, you know, if we've been coming here for a long time, you can kind of lose sight of what's going on in the church. And I want to make sure that we're healthy, right? And healthy things grow, like your children. Healthy things grow. Your kids, if they stop growing, you're going to go to the doctor and say, hey, what's happening here? And they're going to say, you have to feed them. And then, you know, they should come with a book or something, you know. But healthy things grow, right? Gateway, man, it has grown. I mean, 2020 is a little bit weird, but it has grown every year since we opened. And what that's shown us is that we're doing our best and we're actually listening to God and doing what God wants us to do, and you know, and that's it. Like, we're just trying to be the church. We're trying to be what God designed Jesus put together there on the earth and the disciples started, and we're just trying to be the church to our community, right? And people gravitate towards that. They love it. But it's not always been easy. You know, just like a church, just like a new business start, church starts are difficult. You know, there's challenges. We met at the YMCA. We started the YMCA in 2007. My wife and I, we showed up, and our family, we showed up at, it was about 6 months old. And one Sunday, after I was working at Gateway, so it was about a year and a half in or so, one Friday, we found out from the YMCA that they were going to blacktop the parking lot over the weekend. So we would not have a parking lot, because they wanted to be open for Monday, obviously, for the YMCA. And we found out on Friday that we would not have a parking lot. And so we scrambled. We grabbed, you know, some leaders, some volunteers, some people. What should we do? How can we? We can't cancel, right? Like, that's not an option. So what do we do? And so we ended up renting some stretch limousine golf carts. We rented two of those, and we were just golf carting people back and forth through a parking lot that was a little bit down the road. And that's it. We worked it out, right? But there's challenges at the beginning of Gateway. You know, there were several things that we did. But here's what we knew, though. We had a group of people that were gathering together at the YMCA who had been touched by God, which is a strange churchy way to say it maybe, but they have had an experience with God through Gateway Church, and they wanted to be involved, and they wanted others that they knew to be a part of it. And so they were inviting friends, but they were also volunteering and a part of what we were doing. And it was difficult. I don't know, if you've come in the last few years, we set up and we tore down church every single weekend for I think 11 and a half years, something like that. We would bring trailers up to the YMCA or to Godly Station when we were there, and we would set it up and tear it down. It is so nice to walk in here and turn the lights on. You know? But when we were getting to this point, we had people that were actually like, hold on, we're getting a building. What does this mean? Like, where am I going to serve? How am I going to, I got to be involved. And this is kind of where I am involved, right? And it was a big deal. And I was like, you guys, I get it. There's still plenty to do, but this is hard work. Don't you want to move on? And they were like, I don't know. All I know is this. I can serve God by bringing in stages and setting them up or setting up the lights. And what they knew was this. They knew that there was a direct connection to bringing in stages into a gymnasium or a school cafeteria and setting up lights and setting up the screens and setting up the kids area, baby gates and flags outside and signage and all the things that we set up. There was a direct connection to those things and God changing people's lives. There was a direct connection to coming in and setting chairs in a row and people coming through the doors and accepting Christ for the first time. There's a direct connection. Standing at the front doors, smiling, greeting people, saying, welcome to Gateway. A direct connection to that. An addiction being broken, marriages being healed. This is what our people knew. And they didn't want to lose that connection. They wanted to be a part of life change. And so, as we're getting ready to build a building, like, hold on. How am I going to be, like, what's my place? And we're like, hey, we'll help you find another place. There's lots of places to serve. Jeremy and I, this week, we had to go to the back. We have a couple storage containers. We had to go to the back. We had to get two of these stages and bring them in here. We used to set up 100 stage pieces. I don't know. That's probably an exaggeration. Maybe 30, something like that, on Sundays. We had to set up two, and at the end of it, I was just like, oh, man. Are you sure we can't just put this on the floor? Like, it's fine, right? It was hard work. We're out of shape. It's been a long time since we had to set up and tear down things, right? But there was a direct connection to that work that we were doing and people's connection with God. And we knew that. And people wanted to be a part of it. And then even after we got in the building, sure, we had to shift maybe. We're not coming in, you know, but there are people that come in the morning. And they make sure that the connection cards and the offering envelopes and the chairs are straight and everything's good and trash is picked up and we're ready to go, right? There are people that come in and do that. It's all kinds of stuff that happen in lieu of set up and tear down now. But there are people that are here that are, it's a direct connection. And we know that. We say this all the time, right? We get to do this. If you've been here at Gateway for more than 5 minutes, you've probably heard that. We get to do this. We get to work hard so that people can experience the love and grace of God, right? That is what we do. And there was a church in Acts 6 that we're going to look at, and they're growing, and they're experiencing some growing pains, right? They're set up and tear down. Their teams are struggling a little bit, and so they have this conversation, and it's because of growth. And so let's look at that just for a second here. Acts 6, starting in verse number 1, it says this, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So we have two groups of people in the church here, and there's a little bit of a, I don't know if an argument, but they're just like, hey, listen, we need to point out that this is happening. You guys haven't noticed, but we need to point out this is happening. Our widows are being overlooked. Right? And so we have two groups here. We have the Hellenistic Jews, or we have the Hellenistic, and we have the Hebraic, right? And this is two groups of people. And listen, this is a super brief definition of those two, a description of those two, and it is how they saw each other. All right? I love this. This is how they saw each other. The Hellenistic Jews, they were considered by the Hebrews, right, the Hebraic Jews, they were considered unspiritual compromisers with the outside, with the Greek culture. Right? And then you have the Hebrews, right? They were considered the holier-than-thou traditionalists. Again, this is how each group saw each other, and they're in the same church. right? And listen, this, I love that I found this week. This is early church liberals and conservatives. I'm just saying, I'm not going to tell you which ones are which, but oh, you holier than thou, you're just like fuddy-duddy, stuck in your ways, and oh, you're just like, you know, do whatever, go wherever, who cares, whatever, right? Like, this is kind of how they see each other. This is it. This wasn't new. I was surprised to see that this wasn't a new problem, that we've always had this, people disagreeing. But here we go. In the early church, they're like, listen, we need to talk about this, right? So what did they do? What did they do? The one thing that they agreed on is we need to be caring for these people, right? They agreed. So verse number two, the 12 gathered all the disciples together, right? All the new people that have been coming to the church. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So let me explain that. I shouldn't be waiting on tables, right? Because I am the preacher. No, absolutely not. This week, I was setting up stages, right? Like, that's not what I'm talking about. But in this context, I said, listen, okay, we've got to create some systems here because God has called us to teach and to pray for the congregation, right? And so we've got to set up some systems so that we can continue to do what God has called us to do. Like, if we didn't have any volunteers here at Gateway and it was all on me, or even not just me, but the staff, we couldn't do it. We have too many doors to stand at and greet people. There's too many babies over there. There's too many kids in the kids. There's too much. We all have to get in this and be here together, right? And even outside of Sunday, the food pantries, right? The Pooler Lions Club, the helping with foster and adoption, all of the different things that we're kind of involved with here at Gateway throughout the weeks. We could not do it if it was the staff. So that's simply what this is saying. So it's like, okay, we have to focus what God has called us to do. Let's find some people who God is calling them to wait on tables and to care for the widows and the orphans, right? And make sure that gets taken care of. So that's what they say. So no, verse number three, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we will give our attention to the prayer and the ministry of the word. So here we go. We see a need. Let's figure it out. And this blew my mind. I don't like to get political. And I say that knowing that I do like to get political. But I think I'm supposed to say that as a pastor. But here's what it says in verse number 5. It says this: the proposal pleased the whole group. Oh, I love that. So we have the conservatives and the liberals. And this proposal pleased the whole group. So what does that tell you? I'm going to tell you what it tells you. Here we go. We are united through service. We are united through service. It tells me a couple things. We are not all in agreement on everything in this place, right? We talk about this all the time because we need to know that it's here so that it doesn't surprise us when we see it and we can still love each other, right? We are not going to be on the same page 100% with everything, no question. But we can be united through the fact that we are called to serve the people here and the community and the world. There is no question about that. And we can be united through service. This is cool. And I want to point out something just kind of cool for me because it's, I don't know, because I saw it and it's neat. Here we go. So when they talk in verse number 1 that we need to find some people for the distribution of food, right? And then they talk in verse number 4 that we can get back to now the ministry of prayer and preaching. Those two words, the distribution and the ministry, are the same word in the original Greek. It's the same word. Here's what it means. It means to act as a Christian servant. So what is God calling you to do? That is your service. What is God calling me to do? That is my service. So whatever it looks like, it is Christian service. But here's what it looks like here. This is amazing. What this word is describing, volunteers. Volunteers. For the most part, that is God's plan for the world. To be changed through volunteers. I love it. I love this. Because of this culture that we've created, we had consultants that would come to Gateway and they would say, hey, listen, you've got to stop being set up and tear down. You have to stop being mobile. You've got to find a location because this is going to kill your church. You're going to wear your people out and it is going to be detrimental to the growth of Gateway Church. But that's not what we experienced. What we experienced is this. Because we had to work so hard to make Sunday mornings happen for so long, we created a culture of Let's go. What does it take? What does it take? We're going to do that. Let's get it done. And I'm going to give you a silly example that we can't record and put out online because this is dangerous. But 2 weeks ago, that projector was out. Do you guys remember this? The old school set up and tear down people got together. They got a 6-foot ladder, an extension ladder. It wasn't an A-frame. Like, it's standing up. And guys all around it holding this thing up. And they sent up a little kid. Okay, you go to the top and push that button and we'll be able to fix it, right? We didn't do it because it was not going to work. But that was the idea. The culture that has been created around here is that, is whatever it takes to get the gospel out, whatever it takes for people to hear and understand and experience the love of God. That is what setting up, I mean, that's part of it, right? That's what part of what Set Up and Tear Down did for us for so many years was it created this culture of whatever it takes. Because people out there need to see Jesus. People in here need to see Jesus. And so we're going to organize ourselves in such a way that people see Jesus. And needs are met. Physical needs are met. So, to act as a Christian servant. This is the same no matter what we're doing. Okay, if we're up here preaching, if we're in the kids area teaching, preaching, I don't know why I changed the word, but it's all the same, right? If we're teaching people the word of God, we are acting as Christian servants, right? If it's on Wednesday night with the students, teaching, in small groups, we're acting as Christian servants. Some of us are called to do those things. It is the same if we're holding the doors and greeting and smiling as people are walking in. It is so windy out today, and we're holding the doors. It was dangerous to keep those things, right? It's crazy windy out there. But we're holding the doors because this is God's plan for my life. This is what he has told me to do, and I'm going to stand here and I'm going to greet people because I know that there is a direct connection to me standing here at this door, greeting and smiling. My hair is going crazy, right? But I know there's a direct connection to me doing this and people walking in here and having a place to sit down and to focus and hear about the love of Christ and to experience it. To experience on Celebration Sunday all the good things that God has been doing through this place. I know that it's connected. So I'm going to do it, right? Preparing meals for people in need. There's a direct connection to that and God's love being shown to people. Changing diapers, loving and praying for children over in Gateway Kids, teaching over here in the small groups and all the things that go on in the elementary and pre-K rooms, right? During the week, cutting out and gluing together, and most of your fingers like get glued together, right? These crafts that they bring and they make for Sunday morning for the kids. There's a direct connection to that group of people who meet here on Wednesdays to cut out and glue together and prepare the crafts. Direct connection with that and kids accepting Christ and hearing about God's love. Volunteering at food pantries, just handing food to people. There's a connection. Paying bills when needed. You know, we talk about $30,000. Well, just over the past 2 weeks, we paid the tuition for 4 people, 3 guys and a lady, to enter into a drug and alcohol rehab facility in Athens. That's cool. That is cool. But here's why I say that. Because we are going to do those things. You guys are going to be generous. We're all going to be generous together. We're going to put our money in the offering baskets or online or however we give, right? Trusting that the church is going to do stuff. And we saw a little bit about that today. Over $30,000 that we've given outside. Let's go. Right? But it's not just about that. It is when you're in the grocery store and you see, you know what? I got that feeling that I need to pay this bill. It is, you know, in my neighborhood, I know that this family is struggling. I'm going to step in. I'm going to try to help. It is at work when I know that I need to step in and insert myself into this situation lovingly and being sensitive about it. But this is what I'm going to do, right? And then you give and you're generous and we put it all together here at the church. And we give because we don't know all the needs. But people, they come to us, they tell us, hey, this here's the need. And so we try to meet them, right? So it's all of these things together. It's acting as a Christian servant at every part of our lives. This is what we're called to do. It's humbling yourself, serving others. And you might ask, is it really necessary? Is it really necessary to go to that extreme, right? Sure, sometimes I might see somebody somewhere holding a sign, and I give them the change that's the greasy, sticky change that's in the bottom of my cup holder, right? Like, yeah, I'll do that. That's fine. But is it really necessary to go farther than that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Also, your heart is bad for asking. But this is the new command that Jesus gave us, right? As he's talking to his disciples, getting close to the end of his life, here he goes. A new command I give you in John 13:34. Love one another. But then he explains what that looks like. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. As I have loved you. As I have loved you. Jesus came to the earth. He fed people. He healed people. He cared for people. He had conversations with people. He taught people. All kinds of physical service. But listen, I don't know if you know this, but these physical needs, this is not the point. This is not the real reason that Jesus came. The real reason that Jesus came was to live a perfect life and then to be crucified on that cross, to be buried for 3 days, and then on the third day, rise again, defeating death and sin and paying each one of our penalties for sin. He came to be salvation so that we could spend eternity with him. That's why he came. But what did he do while he was here? He served people. He fed people. He cared for people. He healed people. He taught people. He pointed people to God. This is what he did while he was here. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. This is how they'll know you're my disciple. This is how they will see Jesus in you. This is how they're going to see Jesus in you. If you love one another as he has loved you, right? This is how they see Jesus in us. This was God's plan for the chaos around us. In Acts 6, where they're coming up with a plan to make sure that everybody's taken care of, right? God's plan to take care of the chaos that is around you is you. God's plan for the chaos that is around me, that I cause most of the time, is me. Do you understand? So is this necessary? Absolutely, this is necessary. So as you're sitting here, listen, if you are not serving somewhere, and I'm a huge proponent of serving here at the church because this is an amazing place to serve. It's an amazing place to plug in and get involved, get your feet wet, and a very easy, non-threatening environment. Come in here and serve. If you are a parent and you don't know how to teach your children the Bible, if you don't know how to teach, you're insecure about this maybe, because they didn't come with instruction manuals. I know that I'm supposed to be teaching my kids the Bible, but how? I don't know. Volunteer in the kids area. If you volunteer in the kids area, guess what? You don't ever have to tell anybody, I don't know what I'm doing. Because we got systems in place. We'll give you exactly what you need. Train you, prepare you. It's great. But you get to experience the Bible being taught to children. You get to experience people praying for children. So you, as you're volunteering, you get to learn how to take it home and do it at your house. How cool is that? If you're just a grumpy person, don't ever smile. Go greet at the front door. Practice smiling. I force it. Whatever. We'll help you. Right? Listen, this is an amazing tool that we have, this place, but it's not all about here. Here, we're called to serve, yes. We're called to take care of the body of believers. We're called to take care of the people that are coming in. This is part of it, yes. But it's not all about Sundays. What are you doing during the week? What are you doing? Are you serving people during the week? Because service, yes, it adds value to people. It helps. It's amazing. But it also, you will grow as you serve. I can promise you that. You will grow as you serve. You know, I love starting things. I love starting things. Businesses, I don't start them myself. I like to sit in the safety of my paycheck and watch other people quit their jobs and start things. That's really what I mean. I love it. But if you're sitting there and you've started something and it's not working, are you serving? What are you giving away? Who are you helping? What is the reputation that you have? Are you serving others? And this is not, again, this is not just what we do on Sunday. Or maybe I'm going to go volunteer at a food pantry because I'm a Christian and I have to. This is our lives. That's why I talk about small business or wherever you are. This is who we are called to be. Love one another as I have loved you. This is what Jesus said. This is the commandment that we have. So it's not just about Sunday. It's not just about that once a week volunteer opportunity. It is who we are. So, what does this mean? What does this look like for every day? 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So, it's natural. But let me point out something else that's really cool. That word, serve, we're using our gifts that we receive to serve others. It's the same word, the same Greek word that they used for the distribution of food and ministry and preaching. It is our Christian, it's how we are as Christian servants. It's the same word. This is how we're supposed to be. So what does that mean? We are all ministers of the gospel. We are all, if we call Christ Lord, if we are a Christ follower, if we have accepted Jesus into our heart, if we say we're, yes, I follow Jesus, right? Then we are all ministers of the gospel. There's a lot of controversy in the Bible or how people interpret the Bible. A lot of things people can say, you know what, I think it means this, or I think it means this. But this, I've never heard one person, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say we should serve others. There's no question that this is what Jesus is talking about, and this is what Jesus is asking for us to do. Now, I'm going to put myself in a funky position, but young people, by funky, I mean old. I don't want to associate with old people, but young people, if you are trying to figure out what you're supposed to do with your life, while you're trying to figure it out, serve others. I don't know what to do with my life. Start with serving others. Get your focus off of yourself and serve others. Now, I'm also not in this crew. Old people, if you are trying to figure out what you're supposed to do with your life, you're looking back and you're like, okay, I've made all these mistakes. Now what do I do, right? As you are figuring it out, or as you are living your life right now, serve people. Serve people. Am I supposed to be? Yes, you're supposed to. Absolutely. There's no question. Serve people. Now, what that looks like, 1 Peter says, whatever gift you have received, faithful stewards of God's grace. So how has God gifted you? What is the grace that he's given you? How do you serve? Where do you serve? Let's figure that out. Because I can't tell you that. It's not one thing for everybody. But here's the thing, figure it out. We are all God's answer to the chaos around us. There's no question. That's not up for debate. It is just whether or not we're going to be obedient and step into what God has called us to do. And that's one of the coolest things about the group of 12 people or so that was up here today, this morning, saying we're joining Gateway Church. We're new partners here at this place. It's a group of people who have said, I'm stepping in. I'm on board. I want to serve God. And this isn't the only place to serve, but this is an amazing place to serve. I want to be a part of what God is doing in this place. And so, yes, I join. I'm coming. Let's go. This is what we do. It's exciting, right? Baptism. We're going to do that in just a second. But why do we do all of this stuff? Why do we do, other than God has told us to do it? Why do we do it? Because this, listen. What compels us? Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So why do we do what we do? What compels us to actually step out and do what we do? Because we've been with Jesus. We have experienced the love of God. And some are here and they're like, I don't know, it's confusing. I don't know if I've experienced that or not. Or maybe it's brand new and I don't even know the next step. Well, let me tell you, let me help you with that. So we're celebrating the things that have been done up to this point. Well, let me tell you, today we can take a step. There's a connection card in the seat back in front of you, unless you're in the front row, sorry about that. There's a connection card in front of you. Or there's a QR code that'll be a link. There'll be a link online that you can click on. Listen, if this is you here today, and you're like, I don't know. I haven't taken that step. I don't know that I've called myself a Christ follower yet. I haven't accepted Christ. Or you're right, it's time. I was confused, but I need to jump in. That connection card is your way to get things started. So yes, we're going to talk about all the things that we've been doing. But today, it can be your day to start. So mark on there, I want to be baptized. Mark on there, I want to accept Christ for the first time. Mark on there, I want to recommit my life to Christ. Or I want to start serving. Let's go. Because a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. This is how they will know that you are my disciples. This is how they took note for Peter and John. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. So this is how they'll know you're my disciple. This is how they'll know that you have been with Jesus, is if you get going and live into what God has called you and all of us to do. People will still see Jesus through you. Because we look more like Jesus when we're serving than any other time. That's it. And there's no doubt that we gain much when we serve. There's no question. Paul, a couple weeks ago we talked about this verse. It won't be on the screens, but here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Though I am free and I belong to no one, I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Why do we do what we do? Again, Jesus came and he served. But ultimately, for salvation, for eternity, that's why he did what he did. And it's the same for us. We're going to serve because we love people. But ultimately, it is to point people to Christ. It is to point people to Christ because eternity is at stake. So why do we do what we do? Because we want to win as many as possible, point people to Christ. So we're going to celebrate people beginning their relationship with Christ. We're going to celebrate people coming back. We're going to celebrate baptisms. We're going to celebrate that in just a moment. We're going to celebrate all of these things, all the good stuff that we get to do, but we're going to, man, boy, oh boy, we are going to celebrate when people accept Christ, when they become Christians. We're going to do all of the things that we do, that we're called to do. We, at Gateway Church, part of our mission is to work really hard to repair the reputation that the church has. And again, we've talked about this before. Some of it's fair, some of it's not fair. But they're going to look at us from the outside looking in. They're going to look at Gateway and say, you know what? I may not believe what they believe, but I believe they believe it. Because we do. Because we have been with Jesus. And people, when they see that, there's no question. Man, they believe what they believe because they have been with Jesus. That's our goal. That's why we do what we do. So let's go. Let's grab a hold of this. And then through baptism, today we're going to baptize. Just a moment. This is a clear picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we do it the way we do, submersion down under the water. It's the picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're resurrected to new life through him. And that's exciting. A group of people are about to come to tell everybody, I've accepted Christ and I want to live for him. I've accepted Christ and I want to live for him. And we're sitting here in the seats and most of us have already done this. And if you have, then remember that time for you and how cool it was, how exciting. But this is a picture of Christ. I'm ready. Let's go. And I'm letting everybody else know that I'm ready. And we're going to all go together. even if there are some conservatives amongst us or liberals amongst us. But we can be united through our mission, our command that Jesus has given us. There's no question about that.